Hey guys and dolls, thank you so much for joining us for another edition of this podcast. I want to start getting into the habit of saying all of my thank yous and shout outs at first because it really is important that we band together to really expand the conversation, bring new people into it, and also just reach out for whatever. We really are all on our own. This is an independent operation, and you guys are so pivotal in bringing it to a new level. So a couple of big shout outs and announcements. If you like the show, please share it with people, friends, family, enemies, anyone you think would enjoy it. The Quite Frankly podcast can be found on all major platforms: iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever the hell it is, especially on iTunes. Subscribe, leave a couple of stars and a review. That 45 seconds means so much for visibility on iTunes charts. It's really, you know, it's no joke. 45 seconds is really all it takes. Also, for those of you who are wondering if you can help out in any other way, yes, you can. Become a patron of the show. I set up a Patreon after months of deliberation, and I have confidently set up a couple of different things, perks and rewards for people that I feel is a really good free market exchange. You can pledge $1, $5, $10, or the very famous 1776 Club that was actually started by the listeners, and I already sent out all of the September letters, the handwritten letters that go out every month that are a part of the 1776 donation. So thank you guys so much for that, and I want to thank the patrons, my bosses, the people I really work for: Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Veris, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, our good buddy Max Ancaparato, Mad Mints, what's going on, man? Jackie Milam, she just joined the fray. Good old friend of ours, Jackie Milam. And Christian Pepis, good friend of ours, and lead singer of the band The Amatory Murder. Please check them out. Really, really funky band from New York City. Love it. And I really thank you guys so much for all the support.
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
They're going to play this evening.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get down to business.
Your attention, please.
So it's Friday night, everybody.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
And we're just chilling. There's nothing left to do now. Matt's here. Mike's on the couch.
I have something to tell you.
Hey,
and, you know, whatever will be, will be. You know what I mean, bro? Oh, God. Well, in either case, everybody, in either case of that, the Yankees are playing right now, about to start. It's Michael Pineda versus Blake Snell. Yankees versus Tampa Bay Rays in the Bronx. And while the Yankees and the Rays battle it out, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are going to be battling it out somewhere, either in Toronto or in Boston. But in either case, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are both ahead of the Yankees in the division. And if they're neutralizing each other, somebody's losing, somebody's winning. The Yankees got some prime time to act right now. prime time to act. Keep winning, man. This is really exciting. If you're a Yankee fan right now, it's really exciting. The kids are back. Not only that, I really think that there's going to be a new Yankees-Red Sox rebirth of the rivalry soon. The Yankees are getting younger. They're getting sassier. It's a clean slate. And the Red Sox are getting younger, too. So I can't wait. And, of course, we can go back to the moment where it really just blew up for everybody, which, of course, was the throwing down of Don Zimmer by Pedro Martinez.
Yeah, he just took Donathan Zimmerman and threw him by his head.
He took Donathan Zimmerman.
Zimmerman.
Yo, this thing is very loose now. Look what happens to this, Mike. Oh, wait. Now it's not doing anything. Oh, wait. Now it's not doing anything. Okay, forget about it. Now it is. Do you see that? Hold on. There. See, I didn't do that. Yeah, it must be down there somewhere. All right, guys, so it's 7.03 p.m., and what do we got to talk about tonight? Why is this thing staring right at me? There's usually like a... I feel like it's like Mr. Rogers right now. I should be changing my shoes and my sweater. So Sunday is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And I guess I want to do something on Monday. I usually do something on the anniversary of 9/11. Try to stay as apolitical about it, because to be honest, 9/11 really wasn't that much of a political issue. At least on the ground, it wasn't. You think about something like 9/11 happening today. Here's the question I pose for anybody who lived through it, has any kind of really good young adult memory of it, if not full-blown adult, because we were 17, 18 when it happened. We all thought we were going to get drafted in the auditorium of Stepanak High School, Archbishop Stepanak High School in White Plains.
I wanted to. I wish.
You could have just signed up.
I couldn't. I got kicked out of school.
They don't take...
Apparently you needed a piece of paper to pull a trigger.
Say, that's wrong. That's
back
wrong.
In the day, if you got in trouble, like you were even given a choice, if you got in enough trouble, you didn't have to like go to jail. You can either go and serve or you can go do your fucking time.
Oh, I'd serve.
You know how many fucking...
That's came like down to that?
Vietnam and shit like that. Like, you know. No, not today, though.
But are they asking you for the full 4 years?
However, I'm not sure if it's however many a year, if you're getting 2 years or whatever, but I don't know, but...
But let's say you have a two-year sentence, 1 to 2 year sentence, and they offer you to do time or serve service. Is it going to be commensurate with what your sentence was, or you're going to have to do the full four?
I would guess. I'm not sure how that works.
I don't know if there's a two-year plan with the military. I thought that standard is four.
4 and 6 it used to be, I think.
Really?
I think so.
Gadget Doc, you are of military expertise. Can you please call in and shed light on that in particular? Let's see if he says something. Or Frankie. He's Marines. I don't know. Everybody wants me to put the camera back. Well, fine. Whatever. There you go. We're going to get around to the fun stuff right now. So, want to talk about 9/11 on Monday, I guess. But that'll be too late. So, I was thinking about playing something tonight. But it's 11 minutes long, and I really want to take at least 11 minutes out to watch something with you guys. I'll probably cut it out of the podcast episode, and you guys can just watch it in the video episode, because obviously listening to it isn't going to be much of a help. But I think the real thing for 9/11 with me is, and a lot of close friends of mine at least, I know a lot of people just know, yeah, I remember that happened, that sucked. Hold on, Gadget Doc's on. Gadget Doc, can you please shed some quick light on that one particular thing?
What was the question?
Do you know of any precedent set of being able to take military service over serving time in prison? And is that for... Okay, first of all, that.
Yeah, World War II.
Okay, did that go away since World War II?
Yeah, it was basically... I mean, there was a little bit of it in Vietnam, but there wasn't as much of it in Vietnam.
Okay.
World War II, you know, you were having thousands and thousands of people getting killed on each battle. So you needed more people. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to put my headset on.
Yeah. Okay. So you need, okay. So there's the precedent, and that has gone away since Vietnam, you said? Or that's gone away since Vietnam, or you're not sure?
Well, you know, you got to think, after the Vietnam War, everything was an all-volunteer army.
Yeah. So, but then at that point, but I'm talking about the practice of giving people the option to either go, because, I mean, you don't have to go to...
Go to war, go to jail. Some southern states still do that. As a matter of fact, you still... The majority of your armed forces come from 6 states, and most of them are located in the south.
Okay. So we got to keep those good old boys, those old good old southern boys and girls patriotic. That's the heart of the country. Got to keep them patriotic if they're going to be out there.
Which 6 states is it?
You know, it's like Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and I want to put Texas as the next.
Okay, so the second question I had for you was, do you think or do you know for sure of any practice where... Okay, well, that was not it. Is military 2-4-6-8 still? What was it, Matt?
I thought it was
2 years,
four,
4 years, six. Anything like that?
Generally, everybody signs up for an 8-year enlistment, okay? Everybody. It's just whether or not you're going to put all 8 years in at a chunk, okay? Because there's
what about
called
for a criminal? Would a criminal be able to get 2 years in the military, or is that just not a thing?
Well, it's about 3 years is generally your shortest enlistment.
That's the shortest you can possibly get. So then it would have to be commensurate with the time that would be spent in prison then. You can't give them 3 years of military service for something that warrants 2 years in jail, right? Or that can just be the plea.
You know, it really depends. What you're really talking about is a plea deal.
Okay. So that if they take the plea, then it's voluntary?
More or less, yeah.
Okay. I get you. All right. Well,
Do you want to go to war or do you want to go to jail?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're giving this person an option to rehabilitate themselves via federal service. Via the military.
Figuring
they'll be able to sort their lives out and have a little more discipline. Yeah. I mean, I actually think it's a good idea because what happens? Let's say you're a felon. Let's say you get picked up for a felony marijuana charge. You are a convicted felon for the rest of your life. And that affects your prospects for work because you have a hard time getting back. So that's part of the problem that we see within certain minority communities is that they'll make a poor decision early in life and then they can't recover from it.
And where does the military fit in?
The thing is, it's basically a PBJ.
What does it mean, PBJ?
Peanut butter probation, and jelly? Probation before judgment.
Okay. All right.
Yes. So that's basically what you're doing. So what you're doing is you're saying don't, you know, if you fail in the military, you're really screwed because then you're going to go to jail.
Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you in a little bit. See, that's great.
Which would
having
you
people
do?
Drop in for a little. Me?
Would you rather go in and fight in the war, or would you rather take the chance of getting hollowed out in prison?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just watched HBO's The Night Of, and I don't want to be anywhere near a prison. Seriously.
I used to want to go to prison.
Well, of course you would. Of course you would. I used to want to live in a concentration camp. It's like why? Because men suffer. Men are supposed to suffer.
They are.
That's
though.
What.
Why not?
At the end of your life, if you could hobble along and tell people about the punishment. I'd rather be one of those old guys that can still walk.
No. I'd rather walk with a tremendous amount of pain.
Just to tell people, anyway. Just to tell kids how easy they had it. You don't understand how good you have it. I can't fucking walk. Doctor said I'll never walk again. As you're walking around. As you're walking through, you'll be walking through Lion Park Deli. You're going to get your coffee in the morning, black, and you'll be hobbling around. And the last thing you'll say to some new kid that you just told off for the, because you'll tell kids off every day for no reason. So you found some new little kid to tell him off, and you're in the deli. And as you walk away from every kid you tell off, you tell him, doctor told me I'd never walk again. But in either case, 9/11. Getting back to what we were saying, 9/11. The one thing I wanted to watch was this one particular video. It's called Boatlift. The name of the video, Boatlift. It's narrated by Tom Hanks. And it's a story about this boatlift that evacuated 500,000 people from the southern part of Manhattan. All these people, these boaters, people coming out and just doing whatever that was necessary to help people. And I try to imagine a time. I'm trying to imagine if we react the same way to a 9/11 size attack or any kind of tragedy. Do you think that we would react the same way? Because the unity was striking. Yeah, there was. We were suspicious of Muslims. We were suspicious of, you know, anything that we thought looked too far eastern to be American for a while. That happened too. But for the most part, look what really happened before. I mean, and that was just like the birth of a monster. But it's terrible how with that last birth, with that last moment of late 90s pre-9/11 type of innocence, you know, the bubbles were growing. They were going to burst. We were going to have financial hardship no matter what. But this, you really think of the age, the transition that we went through on 9/11, and in one violent transition. You know, we talk about hard landings and soft landings all the time. That was a hard landing. A transition into a new phase of humanity, at least for what we know. Because what has started, what has can't come from that? Pretty much an undeclared third world war. An undeclared third world war. Destabilization of entire regions, continents, currency wars that have gotten worse. It's a migrant crisis, open borders, and then, you know. And then, of course, this—it's once the people that are taking the reins are part of some ridiculous cult that we're seeing right now. Oh my God! So you're talking about a hard landing, man, oh man, with a bang. But in that landing right there, that new transition, that horrible day that it was, it did bring forth what was really still very healthy about society. That when it came time to throw down, we were there for each other. I really want to believe that humankind is still really that way under the many, many miles of junk that it has been under which it's been buried. You know? And hopefully that's still there. But I definitely don't want to find out the way that we found out on 9/11. But who knows? I want to watch this boatlift thing, but it's 11 minutes. I don't know. It's a Friday night. It's up to you guys. Do you want to? I'm going to just take it from the people in the chat room. If the people in the chat room want to watch it, we'll watch it. And I'll just get rid of the... I'll just cut it out of the podcast so the people at the podcast just get a little bit of a shorter Friday episode. And then we can just keep Monday for what it is and keep 9/11 behind us. It's up to you guys, but I want to acknowledge it somehow, and I think acknowledging it in this way is the best way because it it really just focused in on all of the positive that did come out of such abject horror. So it's up to you guys if you want to watch a movie. I'll give it 30 seconds to so that the delay.
Is Tom Crane.
Ichabod Tom.
Is Tom Hanks, is he narrating the video in the Harambe character?
Oh, wait a second. before we get an answer from the chat room, look at these memes. The Harambe meme killed me. Look, it's stupid. It's so fucking stupid. And that's what I fucking love. I love about it. Because I want to know who these people are. I want to know who these kids are. And I want to just hang out with them. I know just from these memes, whoever is behind. Well, maybe not. They could be total. Okay. Here, ready? This is just amazing. Putting it up on the screen. Tom Hanks is Harambe. Dicks out this fall. Dicks out this fall. And it's just, it's a poorly superimposed, because how could you really make, put a human face on a gorilla body? So it's just Tom Hanks. It's amazing how far it's gone. I love it. Oh, God, it makes me feel so happy. It's the only way we're going to survive. And this one, because iPhone 7 is getting so much shit. Well, there's a lot of press about how they're getting rid of the wired, which is, yeah. And, you know, people have already come out with the new adapters to actually bring the wires back. But they're saying goodbye to the wired iPhones. And look at this meme. It's heaven.
Cecil in the background.
Cecil the lion. That's what that is. Yeah. Cecil the lion is the ultimate god.
He's like barely there.
And then you have Michael Jackson, Prince, Steve Irwin with a crocodile, holding a crocodile. You have Kimbo Slice, who is still in UFC shape. You have Walker. What's his name? What's his first name
Paul
again?
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker. Muhammad Ali. Tupac.
And Billy Mays.
Billy Mays.
Billy Mays.
And then in the center, at the top of that stairway going up to heaven, the first person you have to deal with, Harambe. And what's actually walking up the stairs? It's the input for the headphones, for the earbuds that have now been phased out of with iPhone 7. It's unbelievable. This is the only place where sanity is still alive. That's the only place where the sane people are. I have to make that. I think that the only people left on Earth that might be, actually no, you have to be pretty indecent to do some of these memes. Oh, but this is good. Love it.
Yeah, notice how Biggie Smalls ain't up there. Tupac kicked his fucking ass out.
You think that's what happened?
Hell yeah.
Here's another thing I want to come. I want to put a some screenshots on. This is from a blog called. This is from a blog called "Explaining Gun Control and Safe Spaces." I just started following them. I've found some pretty cool stuff come out of them so far. Here's one: hashtag Hillary's Stools. Okay. Has been actually picking up steam, and I'm actually going to read this just verbatim. This is picking up steam. I saw this going on. It's picking up steam, and apparently, and I have to find some media to back this up, but I just want to put this out there just so we can have people maybe look in the chat room for it, help us out, because that's really what we do on the show primarily is a lot of the times we're reading the news for the first time together. Okay, I find headlines that I think will probably end up being good conversations, and we read them for the first time. Other times, when it's a little bit more in-depth, there needs a little bit more research to be done, statistics, media that we can queue up, any of that stuff. I would love to spend some time listening to Hillary speaking at that Baptist church.
I thought you were about to say listening to her bowel movement.
Oh, shit! It's in the gap. It's in the gap. We're going to score.
That? Who is that?
Sendell's very home, baby.
Who is that? Gerald Sanchez? 1-0.
Who hit the double?
That had to be Gerald Sanchez. Kid's on fire.
Ellsbury scores. It's 1-0. No. No. It's Tyler Austin again.
Yo, he's back.
He just came.
He's here.
He just got it. Oh, wait. No. Ref Snyder. Sorry.
He's back.
Ref Snyder. I haven't gotten all their numbers yet.
He's back.
Nice short swing, that kid. He's been playing outfield. They don't trust him in the infield anymore.
All these kids are future Hall of Famers.
Well, in either case, back to Hillary. So this was getting around a little bit, and I wanted to talk about it. Hillary Stools. This is picking up steam. Apparently, all Secret Service and local police are on standby and told that she may fall at any second.
That'd be great if it was on live TV.
During her speeches this week, they have removed the stools after being called out for hiding her health because they started taking pictures documenting that she's pretty much leaning up against a stool being propped up wherever she is, whether she's on stage or anywhere. The other thing is the rumor is that she's calling for the debates to be done while sitting down.
That's just more crippled than fucking Roosevelt.
They don't think that she can stand for 15 to 30 minutes, let alone 2+ hours. Now, I want to see these debates more than anything. Now, a friend of ours who's actually called in, another blogger who's actually called in, a libertarian friend of ours, he's called in before. I believe his name is Dan. It's first and last time I actually called him by his name because I just know people as their blogs. But El Tigre Chico, he's a libertarian friend of ours. He called in one time to talk a little bit about Trump and everything that's going on. And he is one of those anti-Trump people where, I mean, if we're going to talk feasibly and realistically and philosophically, Donald Trump stands for little of what we really think about the relationship between government and people and freedom. Okay, so really, I'm telling you guys, I really do believe that if people weren't going into this with such emotional, toxic poisoning by the media and their classmates and their teachers and all these people in entertainment and the whatever, just HBO, as much as I love it, it does its thing. I mean, we know where the wind blows with entertainment and all the award shows and all the political statements that are made there. We know what kids are inundated with. We know how fucking emotional of a struggle this is. Can you imagine? I like to imagine that people really were able to just let go of the bias a little bit and just accept that there's once, if and when there is a Trump presidency, let go of it. Let go of your bullshit pre-election, because A, you're going to have to live with 4 years at least, just like we had to live with at least 48 years of Obama and just get over it. Be a thorn in his side, like everybody else is going to and should, if he is not a good president or if he's not holding to what he said he was going to do or if he was committing more of the same bullshit, if there's a scandal. Everybody's got to be a thorn in everybody's side. We have to. You know, it's ridiculous, the partisanship. But, you know, I really think that they would actually enjoy his presidency. Seriously. I think that if a lot of people on the left, if they had to put up with a Donald Trump winning the presidency, becoming president-elect Donald Trump in November, if by some miracle people on the left let go of just their intense, visceral reaction, hatred, hysterical nonsense, and really just look at all the media spin for what it was and all the things that people accuse him of being, which really could be explained away by a level-headed mind. People, somebody who doesn't really care and hasn't been radicalized and made emotional, they really, most of them, could be explained away. And it's just about Yankees versus Red Sox at that point. What team are you on? I don't know. I really think that they would enjoy his presidency if they were able to get rid of all that hysterics, all the hysterics and the shit like that, because he's a progressive. I know it was a lot of talking, a lot of yapping just to get around to that. He's a progressive. Look at what but he wraps himself up in the flag. Don't you understand, guys? The welfare state's not going away.
I don't think as many people will be on welfare. not going to make it as freely as it is right now. I mean, right now, all they have to do is sit on their ass. Like, literally do nothing. They don't even have to look for work.
As long as non-citizens are not getting a dime of federal money, then the states can do whatever they want. That's it. Federal income taxes have got to be destroyed, man. Or at least just hacked away at. That the state, if a state, guys, listen, we talk about this in just everyday kind of jabber. Just to explain things that are really fundamental with this government and this country's history. The 10th Amendment is your cure to everything. That's your cure to everything. If a state wants to socialize medicine, if a state wants to socialize education, and if they want to give in-state tuition to illegal aliens or anything like that, if they want to make that available, the state can do as they please. And so can, let's say Arizona wants to provide all of that and more. And they say that this is what we want to do in state, and we're going to raise taxes, and we're going to put forth certain types of business initiatives to raise money and all that stuff to be able to provide this for the public and anybody else that we deem worthy of receiving it. Then that's fantastic, because the people in Arizona who don't want to live in a place like that and think that a lifestyle more of their fitting is in Colorado, they'll go there. And then when things don't pan out with Arizona and things start failing and they become, things start becoming more and more in debt, then finally they'll have financial crises and it's going to have to level out. And you'll level that out through conservatism. Because what happens when you start having fiscal crises at your home? What happens at home? When you're looking at what's coming in every month and what you need for food and what you're paying in frivolous little things, your two Starbucks lattes a day, your two packs of cigarettes a day, your this habit, your that habit, you know? Are you gonna buy your traditional video game a month? Whatever your vice is, you got to look at whatever your latte factor is in that sense, and you say, okay, I'm having a little bit of a personal crisis. I spent a little bit too much. I lived a little bit too much of the good life. You know, I when I have the credit available, I like buying dinner for all my friends. I like spotting people when they don't have money. I like doing this for this person. I like doing this for myself. I like experiencing things and trying new things out. But if there's not a balancing agent to it, and if there's not a plan, then you start having to face the music, which is usually debt. You're indebted to people, you're indebted to credit card companies, whatever the hell it is, and your only option, whether you identify it as so or not, is conservatism. Unless you're one of the idiots that goes out and gets a consolidation loan. Consolidation loan, you fix that into a payment, then you start opening up more credit cards. I mean, then you're describing the New York, you're describing the federal government taking loans out on itself, and then taking out loans to pay for the interest of the new loan. So whether you like to admit it or not, in your personal life, whether you consider yourself a progressive, a hardline liberal, a communist altogether, whatever the hell it is. Conservatism is how you pull yourself out of the problems that you get yourself into. You cut down on the frivolous stuff. You cut down on the stuff that might seem like it's something that brings you great joy and helps other people, whether it be friends or whatever the hell it is. But for the to stay solvent, to stay afloat, sometimes you just got to do the hard things and say it's nothing personal. But we got to get our ducks in a row, and then when we got a surplus again, we'll fuck it all up again. But what has to happen to get your ducks in a row? You have to work hard. You got to cut. You got to be a little bit more tight, rigid. You got to be a little bit less emotional, a little bit more tactical. That's it. Pragmatism. Pragmatic. practicality. It's really not a hateful thing. It's really not a hateful thing at all. But the problem is that we're living under this duopoly that needs there to be wedge issues that we never agree on. Why do you think for all of the easily defeated emotional arguments that you know people on the left run out there for their wedge issues? You know, you have gay marriage, you have guns, you have immigration, couple things like that, wedge issues that you know you're never gonna meet on. Why do you think one takes a hardline approach and the other one, who could easily defeat it and talk calmly and rationally, doesn't do so? Because they need the tension to go on. Because when business needs to get done, it does get done. We're the ones that fight about what team is winning and what isn't. These assholes, they look like they want to tear each other's heads apart, but they're meeting in stairwells. It's fucking House of Cards, man. They're meeting in stairwells, shaking hands, tickling each other's palms. So, El Tigre Chico, a friend of ours, blogger friend of ours, he made this statement last night on his Tumblr, and I liked it, and I said, that's a fantastic idea, because I just want to see it for the entertainment value alone. Okay, so he said, if Trump is 1/100th as smart as he must be, he would fight with everything he's got to demand a real live debate standing up that lasts as long as possible with no long commercial breaks. And even if they pull some shit and have the debate sitting down, he should just stand up the whole time anyway. 100%. Why is there two of me on the screen? Shit. 100% I agree with that. 100%. And that's not for any other reason. Hillary Clinton might. Why is this keep jumping away from Matt?
We don't need a crippled in the White House right now.
Hillary Clinton might wipe the floor with Donald Trump. I don't care. I don't know.
Doubt it. She doesn't know what the fuck is going on. I doubt it too.
But she might wipe the floor with him. But that's not the case. The case is for entertainment value alone, and so that we can know just really what's up here. She should be under the most intense scrutiny. Everybody should. He definitely has. Think about it. You can't say that Trump has gotten off easy. You can't say that. Even if you hate him. If you hate him, you're just having a good time because he's getting destroyed. Now he's standing there like a fucking mountain and taking it. And he's still not being brought down. He's standing there like a fucking... my God, juggernaut. And he's not being taken down. But oh my God, it's relentless. It's relentless. So if you're on that side, you're just having a good time. But if you're able to just admit it, she's been protected far more than she's been attacked. People are trying desperately to have some kind of a real course of action with this woman to face what the hell she's dealt with for the last few decades. What she's orchestrated over the last decades. My God, does anybody come to atone for things? Atone for things? Jesus. Does that happen anymore? Somebody said, you know, I think it was a Daily Mail or Washington Examiner. They said that she, Democrats are really upset with the lack of enthusiasm that they're seeing in their base. And that Hillary Clinton really has to open her soul now. She's got to give people a reason to feel enthusiastic. I'm thinking soul. She has no soul. And then you think about why is she doing it. Okay, let's talk conspiracy now. Why is she doing it? Everybody's saying that everybody is lending to the idea that she's in such bad shape. Such bad shape that she could fall at any moment. If she's really that off balance and she can't handle this and she's taking 2 to 3 day breaks, taking off weekends and days in between and having to sit down and stand up and she's winded and she's got all this coughing, she can't even speak. I had some of those coughing clips that I wanted to play before and I said, it doesn't matter. Probably everybody already heard them already. But they go on for minutes and minutes and minutes. She's got globs of green shit, alien stuff coming out of her mouth, falling into the water that she's pretending to take sips from just so she can unload some more green slime. You know? It's the same thing like when you're in a bar and you don't want to take any more shots, but you don't want to be a pussy, and you spit your shot back into the beer bottle. Into an empty beer bottle, something like that. It's a little bit of a bitch move, but sometimes you just know your limit and you don't want to take fucking back-slapping assholes. I said, oh, God, I'm taking another drink. It's like, God damn it, dude. Bottle up some of that testosterone, Bruno. But why is she doing it? Because she's definitely not passing the baton to anybody. Hillary Clinton did not go through all of this so that Tim Kaine can be president. Because think about it. She's called in all of her favors. All of the favors she's ever called in that she's built up over the decades, wheeling and dealing. She called them all in for this one. And still, she trails Trump in some polls by 2 points. In nationwide polls. In September, dude. September. Of election year. You know, she's definitely not the best choice for the party. That's number one. She's definitely not the best choice. I really think that if she were to drop out, either way, I think Joe Biden would have been ahead of Donald Trump in the polls. Or maybe not. I think there's something else behind this. I think there's something else behind this now that I think about it. You know, the whole Victor Hugo, nothing can stop an idea once its time has come. I don't think that very many people beyond the extreme of the Trump supporters, because there's extreme of both of them, I don't think very many people beyond the extreme could say that he is an ideal character, ideal politician, aside from some good tax stuff, and it's all really just been the change in demeanor. We've had such pitiful demeanor as a country. Our leadership has been pussyfooting, walking on eggshell, no spine. It's just been shunned by the rest of the world, making fools of themselves. President Obama going to England, telling them before Brexit they'd have to get to the back of the line for a trade deal, and immediately him getting rejected. Oh my God, he has been shunned. Especially in his last go-around. Completely shunned. We have such bad leadership. All of his friends. All the attorney generals. All the White House press secretaries. And the Department of Homeland Security. Look what's going on with the FBI. Look at the nooses around people's necks. That they're not, even if they were people of integrity at one point, they're afraid to do their jobs. James Comey is forever damaged. He's a joke to me. He's an absolute joke to me. I don't care how much of a Boy Scout he was at one point. He's a joke to me now. And who am I? Nobody. Absolutely nobody. But I'm just getting some things off my chest. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. He's a conservative Democrat or a liberal Republican, Gadget Doc says. I used to blow my paychecks like a child when I was in my late teens, early 20s. Get paid on Friday, be broke by Sunday. Well, yeah, because you don't have a car payment. You don't have rent. Well, depends on what, how you were living. Some people go off on their own very young. So obviously can't paint in broad strokes. But at 19 and 20, I was not thinking about moving out of home for a while. Okay, I was finishing up college. I was commuting to college. Definitely didn't have money. It was great though. I always had money in the bank, like a couple $100s. I can, because I didn't have anything. I just paying gas. I bought my Blazer outright. That lasted me all throughout the 4 years of college, and all those years gigging with the band. I was. Although I spent a lot of money on that. A lot of money on that Blazer. Had a lot of problems. So I'm actually forgetting that. I'm romanticizing the blazer. Let me stop. See, don't look back on even cars you had with a fond heart, because you're probably forgetting something you hated about them. So there you go. But Joe Biden, I thought, as dumb as he can be, I think that he doesn't carry the aura of criminality. You know, right now you have people that are rationalizing a vote for Hillary Clinton and her crime syndicate. Her she's the leader of a crime syndicate. Okay? Hillary Clinton is a mob boss. You're talking about corruption and scandal? She was running the State Department like it was a crime syndicate. Okay? And it was like Murder Incorporated. And people are rationalizing a vote for her because Donald Trump says mean things. Imagine that. People are rationalizing their votes for a crime boss because Donald Trump says mean things and otherwise is as progressive as most of the presidents we've had. Not, I mean, Obama's an outlier. He's just a commie. But he's progressive. Look at it. Guys, all he's bringing back is the star-spangled awesomeness. But that's a problem now because people have been sold a certain bill of goods. They've been sold a bill that nobody belongs to this country. This country was stolen from the very get-go, that even Americans aren't Americans. There is no America. America was built on slavery and hatred. It wasn't a place where the greatest social experiments in the world took place. It's unbelievable how people allow themselves to be manipulated like this, to not even see what's before them. Two progressives. It's just one of them is untried. The other one is a crime boss.
And a cunt.
And a cunt, to be very, very honest. So a rational person knows there's no comparison between a crime boss and somebody who says mean things and gets attacked by a bought and sold media. A rational person knows that. But Biden, in many cases, I can see him in many scenarios beating Trump. Just because the people who really had to go to war with reality to vote for Hillary would actually not have to go to war with reality. He's dumb as a sack of bricks. But that'd be a much easier pill to swallow. So the favors have been called in, and all of the queen's horses and all of the queen's men are trying to put the queen back together again. And will it be enough? That's the real question. I don't know. What I do know is that Hillary ain't no team player, and she's not going through any of this without a significant payoff. And the only payoff that she thinks is worthy at this time is the presidency. She's done everything else. She's had her time as a do-nothing senator. She's had a time as a complete failure of a secretary of state. And now the only thing, it's not about making millions. She makes $350,000 per half hour when she goes and makes speeches about income inequality at colleges where kids are already racking up debt they'll never pay back ever in their lives. You want to talk about a real mind fuck. She charges $200,000 to $350,000 per half hour speech at colleges talking about inequality in income when she's speaking to a bunch of kids who, just by sitting there in the auditorium and being enrolled in Rutgers or wherever the hell they're at, are accruing debt they're probably not going to pay off if they survive to see the end of it, or before the age of 35, 40. Especially if they're studying gender studies. Which, listen to this, the University of Iowa is looking to create a social justice bachelor's degree. So, yes, as Bass Heisenberg said, college is dead. And as I said, ugh, fucking capitalism. These capitalists making all this money, and here I am with my social justice degree, and I can't make ends meet. It's not fair. You fucking idiots. You idiots. This is from campusreform.org. There's an update to this. So I just want to say, the update is University of Iowa has officially become the first school in the state to add a bachelor's program in social justice to its list of degrees at its Board of Regents approval motion on Thursday.
Class is full of lazy people.
The University of Iowa, let's go. The school already offers first-year seminar for social justice as well as Justice for All Living Learning Community, where students can live and learn about systemic problems in our society. University officials told the Iowa City Press Citizen that both programs have been so well received, with full enrollment in the Justice for All Learning Community and demand for an actual degree program on the topic. Of course, because you're going to be studying the Gospel of Sean King. You're going to be reading from the Gospel of DeRay McKesson and George Soros, and you want to make you want to get a degree in that, and you want somebody to take you seriously. That degree is only going to make. Here's the thing: the only people who are going to get jobs with those degrees are the people who get hired by MoveOn.org and Open Society Foundations by George Soros, who puts. He'll be dead soon. Have you seen what his, like, 30-something-year-old son, how he lives? Dude, he's like a fucking liberal socialite. He's hanging out with all...
He could have an accident. Plane he's in could
Dude,
crash.
He's the man who causes the accidents. The Soroses don't get wiped out. Okay, these are the people who fund the accidents. And they funded Black Lives Matter to the tune of $70 million already. So you want to talk about salaries? For dimwits who are going to college, here's the best thing, you know, especially when you put all this federal money and all this this free education money and tax the shit out of people, so kids can go to school, and they can, which are really just indoctrination centers as it is. And because kids who otherwise probably shouldn't even be in college, because you know it's not really discriminatory or racist or anything. And when I say discriminatory, I mean black, white. Anything. No, it doesn't matter. I'm talking about kids. Not every one of them is a sharp tool in any shed. Okay, we've got lots of blunt instruments in this country that are going to college to figure it out. Or going to college to just have a good 4 years that everybody should experience of, you know, doing all the social stuff. But for all of those Einsteins that never were and never will be, that are now going to college because everybody should be considered an Einstein, they're going to college to get their indoctrination papers, and they're also, you know, they're being presented with degrees they could actually excel in. Degrees that require you to be nothing but an overly emotional parrot. Okay? An overly emotional parrot. You remember and repeat things. If you say it with a little bit more style, you'll get a couple of more followers on Twitter. If you can say it and express your thoughts in open word poetry, you'll get a lot of people to come out to the pub on campus and click their fingers at you in their djembe drum circles. That's what it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. The problem is that the fringe element of far-left, commie, preachy people that you used to see as stereotypes on college campuses when you watch PCU or any of those, you know, fabulous college films. Those stereotypes, they used to have like one or two tables at the cafeteria. It's become the whole opposite. It's the inversion now. So the stereotype fringe has now become the main population, and they're being fed these new degrees that they can enroll in because they can't handle anything else. I know that that's it, whatever. That's all I want to say on that subject. Let's see what people in the chat room are saying. Frank, look, Sean King got kicked off Facebook. Brilliant irony. What? He did? Hey, what happened here?
Hey, yeah, you know Sean King got kicked off of Facebook, right?
No, what'd he do?
He shared a letter that that he received with the M word in it, and it got him banned on Facebook. So I kind of enjoyed the personal irony of it.
That is irony.
Yeah, I actually shared the CBS link for it earlier in the chat room. But yeah,
it's not as satisfying though. It's not as satisfying as him like just being taken off because he was exposed as a quack. But I think that is the irony is still there.
Oh yeah, I mean, because that's what he's screaming for. He's screaming for censorship of words that might hurt some unknown person. Okay.
Right.
So, because it's offensive, it's wrong. How about you grow a pair, okay? And now, that doesn't mean be mean to people to be mean to people, but if it's offensive, okay, that's offensive. You're an idiot. Move on with it.
That's it.
Ignore it.
That's it. Hey, listen, it's like I said in the description of last night's episode of the podcast. We brought up the Seattle Seahawks a little bit before Ashley Wilcott was on, which also, you know, stems off of the first kind of conversation we had with that recently with Colin Kaepernick. And the whole point comes to is, you know, yeah, you have your right, your free speech, but you know what comes along with free speech and the right free speech is not only to use your free speech just to make commentary on things, but to also use your free speech to lay commentary and be a detractor for somebody else's form of free speech. If I don't like a piece of art you produce and I want to actually lay commentary down over the message, the counter message over what your art is or your statement is putting out there, whatever kind of statement you're trying to make, if I think that it's faulty logic, if I think that it's ill-represented, if I think it's manipulative, or if anybody does, that is the other half of free speech. People think that free speech comes along with the guarantee to A, be heard, and have people care about what you want to say, which that's not going to come either, and that the free speech protects whatever you have to say, as long as you're emotional about it, from somebody else's opinion on it.
That's the point. Now, I also heard something really interesting today on NPR, which also ties in, right, is that propaganda speaks to your emotions. So what are we talking about? So that means that when we're talking about social justice or even – and now this was in regards to 9/11 and how they were talking about how they were using how things had changed forever and the color coding system and all that as examples of propaganda. But social justice falls right into that as well because all it is speaking to is the emotion of the situation. So all they're not using – critical thinking, they're not using rhetoric, they're just going straight for the emotional hit.
See, I think that's a great point because if you want to talk about just differences in vocabulary and vernacular and actually overall message, I would have no problem with people seeing what's going on. So now, if you wanted to have any faith in what's going on in the country as far as what the youth are doing and what these ground movements are actually producing interest in, if you had people becoming more and more interested in criminal justice because they want to know the how, the whys, the whens, they want to balance it out philosophically, they want to see if this law is doing more good than harm or harm than good, does this make sense, is there any balance to this, and where can we make the adjustments without having to actually insinuate the most absurd thing ever, that we have to just get rid of the whole justice system. Criminal justice and social justice are two different things. One is a little bit more of a science. There's something there that restrains you and puts you on a track of very logical type of thinking where you can also let emotions – you have to balance it out somewhere. You can't be such a tactician that you become a Nazi because that's the other half of the equation. You could be overly emotional and you become a commie. And then you get overly tactical and you become a Nazi. And it's kind of ridiculous. But social justice What do you think that is? There's nothing tactical about that. It's not criminal. It's just people hanging out. It's interpersonal relationships. It's totally personal. It's not objective. It's subjective in its very, very root. And
it's narcissistic at its very root.
Totally.
Because it's about the self. It's not about the collective. To borrow a communistic term, if you will, it's not about the greater collective. It's not about the greater society that we're dealing with. It's all about my internal emotions, not necessarily what is best and what is just for everybody. So just – I'm going to throw a little bit of philosophy at you real quick. Like, morals is based off of mores. Those are your unwritten social rules, okay? So you can be – and ethics is for the greatest good of society. You can be both moral and ethical and still be an evil son of a bitch, because if you think that it's for the greater good, or if it's because this is the social norm, such as, I don't know, Hitler and the concentration camps and the extermination of Jews during the Holocaust, it's evil as fuck, but technically in Nazi society it was both moral and ethical. So that's a bit of a mind fuck for you real quick.
Right. Yep.
So when you think about moral and ethical, you have to throw in justice. Is it the right thing to do? Is it going to hurt or harm people? And that's the thing that we've kind of lost. And that kind of goes back to the first Clinton administration, is that we went away from right and wrong to, is it legal or illegal?
Right. And that's what I all – and Gadget, I thank you so much for the call, man. I'm going to actually wrap this one up. You're the man.
Roger, out.
That is Gadget Doc, our resident Gadget Doc. Talk to him. Talk to him in the chat room. Ask him stuff. He is a very well-traveled, very, very sophisticated man, and he knows a lot of things that he can't tell us. So that's another cool thing. And also, I'd love to talk to Gadget Doc a little bit on Monday if we're going to do our 9/11 stuff on Monday, because Gadget Doc was right outside the Pentagon. And he is the only person who I have been able to call a first-hand account witness that has called in and talked to us about, yes, it was a plane, I saw it. Because all we have is three frames of an explosion of what was supposed to be Flight 77. There's more questions about that, though, I have, that I'd like to talk to you one day about, Gadget Doc, but talk to you soon. Anything else? What the hell is that last thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah. Great points, though, about all the morality stuff. Thomas Sowell said it. He said, you have to ask yourself, does it sound good or does it do good? You know, a lot of these things sound good. And then when you start seeing what the actual cost is, whether it be money or human cost, then that's another story altogether. But the thing is, the other problem is that as the plans fail, the planners keep planning. So people don't like to admit when they're wrong, and they don't want to reverse course, and they want to keep their jobs. So they will defend a bad idea to the very end. They will throw any amount of money at it because it's not theirs, and that's that. But you guys have been a fantastic group to hang out with tonight, and we'll leave you with this. Oklahoma mother and daughter accused of incestuous marriage. I don't know why Salon, this is the New York Daily News, 43-year-old Oklahoma mother married her 25-year-old biological daughter. There's the daughter. Her name is...
Zach?
Yeah, something like that.
Zach?
She probably says things like bro and dude. And,
what's up, bro?
Come on,
you
dude.
You subscribe to Bang,
oh,
bro?
Whatever, dude. Whatever, dude.
Subscribe to Brain Bro, bro.
So, incestuous mother-daughter relationship. I'm just waiting for Salon to come out and say we need to destigmatize mother and daughter incestuous relationships. It's the most feminist expression of love one can have. Kissing the vagina you came out of. That's the most effective form of worship of the sacred feminine. All right, everybody. I hope you guys watch really, really fun documentaries tonight, both types of conspiracy theories, and we'll see you guys on Monday. We're going to do our thing. Be well. Have a good one. Good night.